This one's good if it goes.
Oh, it did. Holy goodness.
Cow.
Are you kidding me?
Let's it go.
He can fry an egg on his head right now. I mean, the guy's sizzling.
Because you got hope for a dramatic 40.
Oh, boy.
Oh, they got it. Jones. Oh,
yes.
Oh, I can't believe it. Are you serious?
Courtside with Greenberg and Dukich, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to the world's greatest podcast. I'm Seth Greenberg, my main man, Dan Dukich, and we're going to have Shaka Smart join us in a short moment or two. Dan, D-Squared, you are on vacation. There is a rumor that you're doing practice rounds in Pinehurst. Do you play Pinehurst number what?
Yeah, we just played number one. My wife and I played, and we met up with two of the nicest guys. One was 80 years old and hit it a ton, and the other was an LSU grad. Who he wanted Bobby Knight stories. So who better than I, right? I mean, we laughed around, they live out there. We laughed around Pinehurst. My wife broke 100. I almost lost to her. I am a mess, but I'm going to start taking either one of two things. I'm going to start drinking heavily, or I'm going to start taking some kind of muscle relaxer, because about the sixth hole, these knees blow up and I struggle. So I'm going to have a choice to make when I'm playing with you. Do I go to the hard stuff, the brown liquor?
At 9 o'clock in the morning?
I don't know. I'm telling you, around sixth or seventh hole, the Tylenol wears off. I either got to go to something better or I got to go with booze. It's killing me. It's killing me.
I just finished a good five vials. I'm getting mentally, physically, and emotionally ready for this. I mean, you need all three. You need all three. So if you don't play any better, you might be put in a transfer portal.
Transfer portal is heating up. Been very, very good to the one that all the boys in the media said couldn't recruit. Old Mike Woodson, he's one of us. Who's your back home? Look what's happening. It's going to be a dominant program coming up here. Over the next 10 years, Woody, Dane Fife, they've got it rolling, man. They've got it. And look, this NBA thing, guys coming from the NBA to college to coach. I said it at the time with Woody, I love what Juwan did. If you're not Isaiah or Mullen or Clyde Drexler, I mean, if you're a grinder in the NBA, you come to college, man. You're going to have some success, at least is what I'm seeing so far. It's only been a month in with Woody, but damn, pretty good. Pretty damn good so far.
But don't you think, Dan, it's because he didn't skip any steps? And I don't mean that he didn't.
Yes.
He played for and worked for guys that took no shortcuts. He worked for and played for guys that basically – there was an accountability in everything in your program, whether it was the assistant coach, whether it was a trainer, whether it was the director of media relations. Like, everyone had to hold their end of the bargain. Don't you think?
Seth, I absolutely do. Like I said, there's a difference between getting a job because of your name. And there's a between that and getting a job because, sure, your name is great, but you have worked your tail off at up, boom, 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 boom. And you've dealt with the things that normal coaches deal with, the media. You've dealt with player ego. You've dealt with parental or guy ego. And I think when I look at Mike Woodson, when I look at Juwan, now the one thing I would say, and I don't know what went sideways there, Avery Johnson seemed to me to be a guy that had done that. Now, I don't know if he was an assistant. In fact, he may have just gone to be a head coach. But I think it's an interesting, not to say anything bad about anybody that is a great all-time NBA player or an NBA champion, and they don't make it as a college coach. I mean, who cares? They go on with a great life. But I do think you're going to see this, Seth. I do think you're going to see guys like Mike, guys like Patrick Ewing, guys like Juwan have really good times as college basketball coaches. I do.
Do you think the portal actually helps a guy like that in terms
of
construction of his team, in terms of it's like free agency?
Well, surely you do, too. We all took jobs. Like, I took my job after basically recruiting was over, and I needed to find a 6'5 wing kid when I went to Bowling Green. And, hell, I couldn't find a 6'5 kid, much less if you need a big. You know this. There's nobody out there as a big that you could really say, okay, he can come in and really help. Because that's what you're trying to get when you're in this time of year. You're trying to get somebody that can really help. So you, absolutely it does.
Uh-oh, wait a second. With hair, a little shorter hair. I mean, it looks like it's cropped up a little bit now that he's back in the Midwest. I mean, it looks like we have Shaka Smart here. It looks like he's kind of like a little bit of trimmed up. I don't know if it's a fade we got going on. I mean, Coach Smart, it is good seeing you. Congratulations. I got to congratulate you for two things. Number one, for winning the Big 12 Conference Championship, which was an incredible accomplishment. And number two, getting closer to home, getting back to like maybe a normal situation for you in terms of being at just a school that loves hoops. So congratulations. And I guess because of that, you get stuck talking to us again.
It's always good talking to you guys. That's the fun part.
The hair looks really good, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, take your hat off, big boy. We would love to have any of it. We don't, you know. Hey, coach, what's it been like being back in Wisconsin?
It's been great. Yeah, it's been, as you guys know, I mean, you guys have taken over different jobs. I mean, it's a whirlwind, you know, especially in this 2021 era of, you know, transfer portal and extra year of eligibility for guys and, you know, COVID restrictions and those sorts of things. But it's been a lot of fun just getting to know the guys here, the people that support the program, former players. So I'm really enjoying it.
What in terms of getting to know the players, are the players on campus, have you had a chance to like sit down and kind of share your vision? You know, usually you take over a job, I've been through three times, you know, you had that first meeting with your team. And obviously now with the portal, it becomes even that much more important when you create a little bit of a vision of, you know, kind of who you are, what you want to be, your identity, what you want it to be. Have you had that opportunity to do that?
Well, you know, usually when you get a job, as you guys know, right after the press conference, or maybe even before, you get a chance to have a team meeting, you know, and meet with the guys and sit down. And as you said, kind of start to lay out what you're about and what you want the team to be about. But when I got here, nobody was here. I think there was maybe one player, a current player on campus. And so for us, I actually had to go get on a plane and go to different areas and see the guys. And there was one player I was all set to see the next day. And then he went in the transfer portal, which, you know, obviously is part of 2021. So I changed the plans, you know, and didn't go there. But you know, it was good getting a chance to go see these guys. Obviously, with recruiting being a dead period right now, your current players are really the only guys you can leave campus to go see. You can't go see signees. You can't go see recruits, but you can go see your current players. So that was a good start for me just to get a chance to be around them.
Shaka, when I went to Bowling Green, I drove 600 miles to New York City to see a kid in the Bronx, and he didn't show. His family showed. They're grilling me, and the kid wouldn't come in. I'm like, oh, boy, he lasted a minute. I digress.
Well, you know, I think we should write some kind of book about that, because I think if all of us combined our stories about when you first take over a job, I'll tell you guys a funny one real quick. So you guys remember the kid, Joey Rodriguez, that was really kind of the heart and soul of our team that went to the Final Four. Well, if you rewind 2 years before that, I got the job at VCU. I'm replacing a very, very successful coach in Anthony Grant, and Joey didn't like it. So he comes in, he says, I'm transferring, I'm out of here. And I'm transferring to Rollins College, which is a D2 in Orlando, which is where he was from. And so that whole spring, he's finishing up school. He came to our workouts just to watch because he's a basketball junkie, but he didn't participate in the workouts. And so he goes home. You know, we're assuming he's gone. We don't have a point guard in our program. We recruited a couple young guys, and I get a call in late May from Joey's dad. And I could tell they were kind of, you know, maybe had been having some fun, you know, maybe even a couple drinks. And he calls up, he says, Coach, Joey's coming back. And I said, really? And I said, are you sure? I would love to have him back as long as he's fully committed and all in. Yeah, he's coming back. He's going to be there. So then I get on the phone with a coach from Rollins College, and he's cursing me out. you know, just cursing me. Like, no, you're stealing my player. This guy's here. And this guy's a really good coach. Like, he's, you know, he's an established good coach. And I'm like, hey, Joey was here. They just called me and said he wanted to come back. I didn't recruit him. So really, if it wasn't for an afternoon barbecue where they had a few beers, we never would have gone to the Final Four.
That's so good.
Hey, man. There's one phone call from Ed McMahon, right? Back in the day of the lottery, change of life. One phone call from Joey Rodriguez. Dad, change of life, man. That's it. Perfect. Absolutely. It is amazing, though. Coach, all right, if you don't mind, you win the basketball is crazy. You win the Big 12, and then you lose to Abilene Christian, and then you're going to Marquette. Can you walk us through the exhilaration, awfulness, then the exhilaration of a 2-week period?
March is a crazy month, as you guys know. And you know, they used to say, what was it like, ABC Sports, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. So definitely that. And it was just, you add the strangeness of COVID and bubbles and, you know, all those restrictions. It was a month unlike any other. You know, we played our last four regular season games on the road. So we were traveling. The guys did a great job. We won the last three of those. And then we actually were in our own beds because of that for 2 days in between the first day of March and the day we got back from the NCAA tournament. You know, guys did a great job in Kansas City. We get up there, you guys are like this. So, you know, our folks, medical folks have been pretty strict. Like, we couldn't eat together, anything like that. So all these meeting rooms for the teams are on the same floor in the Marriott there. And our guys are walking past these other meeting rooms and everyone's eating together, meeting together, doing all these things. You're like, hey, what the heck? How come we got to go eat in our rooms? So, you know, everybody's situation was a little different just depending on their medical deal. But that was strange in and of itself. If you guys remember, we were supposed to play Kansas in the semifinals. They had a kid test positive. So literally we're headed to shoot around. And I had to tell the guys, hey, we don't get to play today. And they were pissed. I mean, they wanted to play. You know, we had fortunate enough to sweep Kansas in the regular season, and they wanted the shot to beat them again. But then we played Oklahoma State. Guys did a great job, won the Big 12 championship. Coach Dockage, I think I talked to you in between that game and the first round of the NCAA tournament. And that bubble was odd, man. I mean, it was sure you guys have heard from other guys. You know, we probably had some players that didn't handle it the best. We were kind of on those guys about, hey, it is what it is. You know, the teams that handle this the best have put themselves in the best position. But it definitely was unlike any other. Abilene Christian played their butts off. We had a tough, tough shooting night. Our guards, who've been terrific all year, you know, probably one of their lesser games of the year. So we lost the game by one. Just devastating, devastating game. You guys have been there before. And so we go ahead back and, the Marquette opportunity came up, and the more I learned about it, just made a ton of sense. And I'm so excited to be here.
Did you feel, I mean, you know, cause the media says this, and I'd like to hear your, you know, media says, well, he got out before they ran him out. Is there any truth to that?
Well, you know, I felt like this was a place where they really, really wanted me to be here. And it's a place where, you know, basketball is front and center of everything we do. And, you know, I learned a long time ago, you know, you don't disparage the coach that you're replacing, and you don't disparage the place that you're leaving. And so it was a great experience at Texas. I learned so much. We had some phenomenal wins and some great, you know, some great moments. Definitely had some heartbreaking games as well. But, you know, I feel like for me and our family and our staff, most of our staff came with me, this is probably a better fit from the standpoint of basketball centric. It's a little bit smaller. And so it's a little bit more of a kind of a family atmosphere and an alignment on one thing. And, you know, just an opportunity to build something special.
What do you say to those guys when you meet your new team? Like, and those guys, whether it's individually understanding, but I mean, like, to me, in a lot of ways, Marquette is a Midwestern version of VCU. In terms of just kind of difference, obviously, in the size of the schools, but how important basketball is. And, you know, you can get, in a lot of ways, the kind of guys that you've enjoyed, and you've enjoyed coaching whoever you've coached, but you're kind of, you know, you're kind of get into it, get gritty kind of guys. What was your message to your team when you met them individually?
You know, I think you're right. There's similarities there in terms of just the basketball focus and the incredible interest in basketball. I do think one thing that's changed for everybody, not just me, you're not just here, is the game has changed a lot in the last 10 years, you know, in a lot of ways. The cultural element of basketball in our country, the NBA influences, you know, the rules have changed. You know, everyone says, why don't you press all the time? Man, they call it differently. They do. I mean, that cylinder rule, that's a game changer for people that like to trap. Not saying that we can't do it some, and we will do it some. But the biggest message, coaches, honestly, has been this. This is our culture document. So this is who we want to be. This is what we want to create. As you guys know, it's really easy to have it on paper. It's really, really hard to bring it to life. And so I understand that doesn't happen overnight. But my message to these guys is, you can either fight it, that ain't gonna work so well. You can comply with it, which is kind of do the bare minimum, and that's not gonna get us to where we wanna go, or you can commit to it. And when you commit to it, you make it your own, you own it, and that's what we're trying to move towards over time.
You've been off and running, man. You got, you know, guys coming. Transfer portal, Seth and I were talking about before you came on. Does it make it easier on this side of it to build a roster? The other side, it's tough, right? You're wondering who's going into the transfer portal, but, you know, you're a little bit on the other side of it. Is it easier to build?
Well, I think it's different. I think in some ways it's easier from the standpoint of, you know, there are more players available that are immediately eligible, you know, certainly than other years. What's more difficult is, you know, Coach Raveling always says roster management. So, like, just knowing exactly, you know, who's all in on your team. And the fact that, and you guys know this, I'm sure you've talked about it a lot. My biggest thing from the beginning with all this transfer stuff is any changes you guys want to make is fine, but there's got to be whatever you call it, a drop dead date where you know who's on your team. Otherwise, no, you know, whether it's basketball or football, I mean, a guy could go to August, you know, and then make a change. And I think just from the standpoint of competitive balance and competitive, some type of, you know, rules, just like everyone gets 10 seconds to get the ball across half court, you know, you need something like that. So I've been told that date is July 1st this year, and man, that's a long way away. So, you know, just trying to get a sense from guys here. Hey, what do you want to do? You know, do you want to be committed to the stuff that we're talking about? And, you know, I think it's important to give guys a little bit of time to get to know you and your staff, and okay, do they feel like we're a fit for them? But that's, you know, something that probably the most important thing right now for any incoming coach.
In terms of that, Shaka, I mean, like, all right, July 1st, is it? So I'm talking to some guys saying, you know, I'm not sure I want these guys here for summer session number one, because shoots, they can be here summer session number one, and all of a sudden, like, you know, the middle of June, or, you know, 3 weeks, and maybe we have a hard practice, or maybe a guy emerges and they look at it and say, wait a second here. You know, I might not make it here. I might not be the guy, you know, the guy who the ball's in his hands. If I'm a point guard, I'm not going to be the go-to wing or whatever. A coach is talking about, you know, a role that maybe I don't agree with it. Is it almost better to wait and not bring your guys until summer session two? Cause I'm talking to some guys, they're saying, like, we might not bring you guys back on campus till second summer session. What are your plans with a new team? I would think you'd want to spend time with them and develop that relationship as soon as possible. But is that a concern?
I think you're exactly right. I mean, I think you got to factor all those things in. But at the same time, when you're building a new team, you need time to be around them. You need time to coach them. And I mean, this may be old school, or it may be a little bit naive, but, you know, to me, the more we can be around these guys and the more we can get to know them, they can get to know us. If for some reason someone feels that way, it may be better, you know, to learn that and know that earlier as opposed to later, because as you guys know, that type of stuff is going to crop up sooner or later. Like, it's not just going to go away. Now, definitely get your point about making it past that date. It's, you know, coaches have been put in a really, really interesting spot. And it's interesting because, you know, the last thing the media ever does, and I wouldn't ask them to do this, is feel sorry for coaches. And I certainly wouldn't ask for that. But it's, you guys know, because you did it and you still think that way, is, you know, it's a very, very interesting position that coaches are put in. Obviously, we're evaluated at the end of the year on your record, winning and losing. But all this stuff we're talking about goes into that.
I've often said, I get it, 18 to 23-year-olds, we got to respect them and their ability to move. But at some point, you got to respect the school, right? I mean, you're the coach, and no one's going to feel sorry for you. But the institution, the school, the basketball program has to at least at some point be respected and have a date that's manageable for not only you, the coach, but for the school to have the best team possible. I mean, at some point, you got to respect the game and the school. Some point, I think.
Well, I think the biggest, you said it, the game. And, you know, the challenge we have, let's be honest, is you have the NCAA only has a certain level of power. And, you know, in a lot of ways, sometimes they always feel like they're kind of backpedaling, you know, from, you know, whether it's a lawsuit or whether it's other folks in the media, not so much you guys, but other folks that, you know, are accusing them of this or that. So, you know, I think that the biggest thing is, do we want to have some type of competitive balance where, you know, we know that, hey, these schools have a relatively fair opportunity to compete. If we don't, then, you know, we just have to understand that and be willing to live with that.
How about, like, you know, the interesting thing to me is every guy I talk to now says they're not recruiting high school seniors in the spring. Like, high school seniors have become pushed to the back burner. Does that open up an opportunity where some guys and people are so focused on the portal that you're losing sight of this guy that, you know, could develop? Like, I call evaluate up. Because, you know, you're not about worried about evaluating up because guys are so concerned about the portal and saying, well, I saw this guy. I know kind of who he is and how he wins because I've seen him in a college game play at this level. I know what I'm going to get, where I bring a high school senior in, signing late, and shoot, he might have a vision of himself. If he's not playing by the end of his freshman year, hell, he'll be in the portal. I mean, how do you evaluate? I mean, like, that's got to be a hard delineation, right? I got a high school kid. I think he's pretty good. I think I can develop him. But I know what I'm going to get out of this guy, and I know he's going to be there for a couple of years because he can't transfer again. How do you distinguish between that?
all that is spot on. I do think there will be more high school guys that end up at, you know, programs that are maybe not the most prestigious programs that people say, wow, how did he end up there? And I think a lot of that's going to be because the majority of college coaches maybe had their eyes somewhere else. You know, they're trying to get, you know, this transfer three man instead of, you know, this young 6'5 kid that's got a real chance. I mean, there's always been guys like that, right, that you kind of scratch your head, like, how did he end up at that place? I think there's probably going to be more now.
That's Chaka, you know, I want to go back to something. I remember having a talk with Thad Mata about the difference between, you know, like Butler, which is basketball, right? Ohio State, which is basketball, but football. I want to go back to this for you. Texas had everything you needed, obviously, facility, money, all that kind of stuff. But can you feel it when you take a job like Marquette, the emphasis on basketball? Can you just feel it?
Absolutely, you can feel it. And, you know, VCU was similar from the standpoint of basketball is kind of the heartbeat. You know, and there's such an interest level in what's going on with basketball. And, you know, that's not to say in Ohio State can't be incredibly successful. I mean, Thad Mata's run there was just phenomenal. And I don't think enough people talk about that because it's not like it happened 20 years ago. Yeah. I mean, that's recent memory. And he was like number one or number two seed in an NCAA tournament for how many years in a row? So you have the power to be able to go do that at those places. But I do think that, you know, certainly from just an everyday standpoint of, you know, people being really focused on what you're doing and excited about what you're doing 365 days a year, that's a little bit different at a basketball-centric place.
Yeah.
Now, do you understand that the Golden Eagles team is the defending TBT champions and the pressure that's on
them
to support the defending champions, the Fighting Travis Deaners?
Well, Travis has, been in here a couple times. And, I was at Dayton. I was a young guy at Dayton working for Oliver Purnell when he played and D. Wade played and Tom Crean had those phenomenal teams. And I just remember Travis, like seeing him like, man, this guy's got incredible swagger. And, you know, he's out there bossing everyone else around as a freshman. So I'm not surprised that, you know, that he's had the success he's had in the TBT.
Greatest post-game interview in the history of the TBT.
Right. Hey.
Absolutely.
A case of Miller Lite, and he's yours. He'll do anything for you. That's it. That's all, man. That's all. He takes. Hey, really appreciate your time, man. I know you're busier than hell, and congratulations on the move. Congratulations on the great start, getting some kids in here. And I can't wait to watch the Golden Eagles, man. It's going to be great. Thanks for the time.
Well, it's always fun talking to you guys because, as I always say, you guys get it. You guys are coaches. So thanks for everything you guys do. Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, Seth. Hey.
Yo.
I got news.
All right. Give me news.
My wife and myself are going to be on the Kelly Clarkson show. We're going to be on. We're taping it on the 29th of April, which is a week or so. So we'll let you know when they're going to be on. But our Bikes for the City program, Kelly Clarkson. I'm not even sure I knew who Kelly Clarkson was, Seth. I'm just telling you.
Say that. But anyway, we can't have that on.
I know, but I'm not sure I did. Anyway, she found out about our bikes program. So Lee and I did a video. And they chose us, so we're fired up, baby. We're going to get some more bikes.
Here we go, bikes for the kids, nothing better. Impacting young lives.
Yeah, baby.
You get it all on Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You get Chaka Smart, who, by the way, the hair is trimmed up.
Oh, looks good.
He's looking good. I tell you what he does, though. He looks relaxed and happy.
I guess I don't feel like this is talking behind his back. I certainly hope it's not, but – I knew him when he was in the MAC as an assistant, then at Florida and all that. And I just felt it was a weird fit. I'll never forget Bruce Weber called me when I was at West Virginia. And I asked him, I said, why didn't you want this job over here in West Virginia? He said it was out of my area. And it's always kind of stuck with me. You know, Seth, you've been one of the few guys that has been able to go play Long Beach, very successful. Come back to South Florida, very successful. Go to Virginia. I mean, you've covered basically a triangle. And not a lot of guys. I would bet there's a very small number of guys that did what you did, go out of area like that and be very successful. So, you know, I'm glad Shaka's back. And I think you're going to see Marquette, which has been a great program. I feel bad for Woj, but I think you're going to see them where Marquette fans want them to be. I think it's a great hire.
I'm really excited for him. He's got a great family. And I, you know, sometimes you just get in a situation that it's just, and I just saw a picture of my daughter in her fitting for her wedding dress, out of control.
You're done. He's a puddle, people.
My wife just called.
He's a puddle.
I might have you come up and do a little introduction, but you know, before I give the big speech.
No chance. I'll do it. I'll do anything. You kidding me? I'm in. But right now, people, this is where. This is Seth Greenberg. That's all horse. Seth Greenberg is the softest, best father there is. Oh, okay. I saw him looking in this, and he was looking at his daughter. And I'm telling you right now, he's crying. Nah. He's got a hat pulled low. He's a puddle. And I'm going to walk around like those guys do when I'm at Michigan State and put the cameras in my face and try to bait me. I'm just going to walk around at your daughter's wedding with a camera getting you crying all over the place because you're going to be a mess, and I love it. And that's what makes you great.
I'll tell you what, just give you an idea. The theme of my little talk, my toast, is going to be Survivor. Surviving the Greenberg Girls.
Thanks for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. Check out more great podcasts from ESPN on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.